Lord God, we love you, we bless you, we adore you, we magnify you, we place none other before you. If there ever was a time where we needed you, now would be a good time. God, we love you, we need you like never before. This nation is crying out to you. This world is crying out to you. America, this world, the church, your people need you like never before. We repent of our sins and our wrongdoings and our turning our backs on you and putting other things and other people in front of you, putting stuff in front of you. We're putting ideas and ideals in front of you. We repent and we apologize and we turn back to you as a nation, as a body, as a church. God, we need you like never before. We need you to come in and cleanse us, and purify us, and make us the people that you are calling for, the people that you are looking for. We are stopped looking for signs. We stop looking for signs and wonder. We're going to look for you. We'll look for your presence. We're going to go against the performance, and we're going to just go to perform to an audience of one. We want to please you. We're not trying to please anybody else or try to please the people of this world or our friends and loved ones. We want to please you and you alone. So we put our trust in you. We put our hope in you. We put our life in your hands. God, we need you like never before. God, as I come to prepare your word and to present your word that you have put in my heart, I ask you to get inside of me. I move myself out of the way that you may be used, that you may use me like never before. Use my heart, my mind, my eyes, my spirit, God, just to communicate with you and to your people. God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning. God bless you, City Beach Church and the world. Thank you so much for joining with us as we continue on with a series we started last week. As we beginning of the year, we're going to talk about what's next. We did everything. 2020 brought us to this point, and we had some loss, we had some gains, and we want to start each year off figuring out what's next for us. What does God have for us? We always have our goals and ideas and our resolutions and our plans. Last week we said a man that fails the plan plans to fail. And we want to make sure we have not just our plans and not just our goals and not just our resolutions, but we want to know what you have to say for us. We want our goals. We put you first. We forget our agenda, forget our plans. We want them to be God plans, not just good plans. Proverbs 29:18 says, if the people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. So we want to make sure that our goals, we want us to do what you are doing, want us to see when you reveal to us where we should be going and what we should be doing and how should we be attaining the things that we go throughout each day of the year, each day of our lives. And if we do that, we will be blessed. We talked about God has shown us the way of life. God wants us to prosper. God wants us to live and to do all the things that he's called us to, because he's called us for a reason. He's called us for a purpose. Everybody that's here has a reason. Everybody that's here in this earth right now and that's listening to me, you have a purpose and you have a plan. God that desired you for the beginning and designed a plan before you were even born. He made a way for you before you were even born. Psalms 116:9-11 says, no wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. My body rests in safety, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. So God wants us to show us the way of life, because that's what God wants. He wants us to live and to show us how to live and how to be prosperous and how to, wherever we go, his fruit, his love, his joy, his peace, his long suffering reigns and illuminates through us so that we may be able to share his life and share our story and share what God has done for us throughout everybody that we come across and spread the gospel, spread his love. Because the enemy comes to steal, kill, destroy, and to break down. But God comes to us to have life and have it to the full, have it abundantly. So we talked about that last week, and we talked about certain things that we like to do here at CRB, at City Reach, that kind of show us that our next steps and how we plan to live our life and how we plan to govern ourselves. We want to know God. We want to know that God, we want to find God, know God in our part of our sins and know Jesus in our hearts and accept him into our lives. We want to find freedom. We want to be free, not just from our sins, but we want to be free from the things that hold us down, our habits, our traits and our different things that are likes and dislikes and the things that we kind of hold ourselves down. So we want to know God. We want God to forgive us. We want to find freedom. We want to be able to forgive ourselves and be able to do what God's called us to do. And once you know God and once you find freedom, then you can discover your purpose. Once you discover your purpose, you know that nobody is here by mistake or by chance. God brought us all here for a reason, for a purpose, and for a plan. So I know the plans I have for you, you know, and God desires for us to find our plan and to walk out our plan that he has for our life and our purpose. And when we do that, we can make a difference. And that's what we want to do. God called us to make a difference. He called you to make a difference, not just to be here. You're not just a fly on the wall. You are here to make a difference. All right? As preached already right there. That's just a catch up from what we talked about last week. So I said this, everybody has a purpose. Everybody has a plan. You're not here by chance. You're not here by circumstance. There's a reason why you were born. There's a reason why you are listening to this message. There's a reason why you are here right now, because you have a purpose. So now we know that. We want to find out. There's certain enemies of purpose, something that's come to get our purpose, because they say, and if you go to a lot of to the graves or to cemeteries, you see a lot of dreams that didn't happen. You see a lot of people that didn't fulfill their dreams, and just some people didn't live life to their fullest. But God wants to live our lives to the fullest. And so the enemy wants us to die without our dreams being fulfilled. The enemy wants us to die without our purpose being brought to fruition. And that's what he sends different things and different tips, traps and techniques and battles and attacks on us to not just to kill us, but to kill our purpose. If he can kill our purpose, people are not being reached. If he can kill your purpose, you're not making a difference in the world. If he can kill your purpose, you're not reaching what God wants you to do. And you're not fulfilling the plan and fulfilling the ways God made out for you. So God wants you to fulfill your purpose. He wants you to keep going. He wants you to do those things. He wants you to do great things. He wants you to do those scary things. Those things that seem too big for you, because they are too big for you, because God is we serve a big God. He wants us to do big things and rely on him and not just rely on our own power. You got that? Amen? All right. So one of the enemies of purpose, let's talk about first Romans 12 and 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. I'll say that again. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Let me read this again. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Starts with the mind. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So that's what God wants. He wants you to renew you from the inside out. If you're first renewed in your mind, you're first set free in your mind. They say when they're training elephants from the baby on up, they tie a chain around his ankle. And so when he's younger, he can't break the chain. And they put the stake in the ground and they put a chain on his ankle. And when he's younger, he can't
you know, break the chain. So, and then they're training him that way. And what happens is once the elephant grows older, they remember that they could not lift that leg or free themselves from that chain attached to the stake in the ground, not realizing that they now have the power to break through their chains. So they have been trained to be shackled by something that they can easily break by just sneezing. And just that way, the enemy has some of us trained by different things that in our past and different things in our legacy, different things in our heritage that hold us down. So you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't, a whole lot of can'ts. And what happens is we are chained and shackled by things that have no power over us. And things and situations that have no power. We don't realize that the God we serve is greater than that chain. The God that you serve is greater than your past. The God that you serve is greater than that problem that you were dealt with and that bad hand that you had when you at a childhood. The God that you serve can help you break you through all of that chains and all of that bondage and all of those things that once held you down. And a lot of times, if you move on from the elephant, we get to different other types of animals we call crabs. And crabs in a barrel. And one crab can't get out of the barrel because they slip. And then what happens is other crabs are grabbing at each other. So nobody gets out. So not only we have the shackles on our own feet, but we actually bringing each other down, fighting against each other, not knowing and not realizing that if we all bind together, we can all climb up together and get out of that barrel. Yes. 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 So, and an enemy likes to trick us that way. And it's funny because the enemy is not really, he doesn't have his hand on us at all. He doesn't put his hand on us. He attacks us through our mind. You can't do that. You can't go there. You can't do that. You'll never be able to do that. You're a loser. You're not that attracted. You're smart. You're not smart. You're dumb. But don't be too smart. You never find an attractive man. Or don't be a nice guy. Women don't like nice guys. They want a roughneck. Or, you know, I can't accept a good person. I can't accept a good man because I'm used to getting beat up. And not realizing that you're better than that. God made you better, not bitter. So don't allow those things and those tricks of the mind. They're just loud thoughts because the enemy likes to yell different things at you. Like I said, they're lions, roars, roaring at you. Seeking to devour you, seeking to let you down. But you got to understand, you're better than that lion. You have the lion. If you just think about it, the lion is just a little cowardly lion from the Wizard of Oz or the Wiz, depending on your neighborhood. Has no power. He has no courage because he can't beat the God that you serve. And once you have the God that you serve inside of you, you're greater than that lion. You're greater than that roar. And don't listen to the roar that roars at you and tells you what you can't do. You said, through God, I can do all things. Through Christ who strengthens me. So he sends different attacks. He sends different plots and traps and things that try to bring us down. And one of the traps or one of the enemies that he sends us is the enemy of comparison. When you look and you compare yourself to what that person is doing. But when you compare your ministry to what that other ministry is doing, or when you compare your marriage to what that other marriage looks like, not knowing what it took to get that marriage, not knowing what it took, not knowing what person gave up to gain what they have. Some people are rich because they got inheritances. And they would love to have the family members back in their lives and give up all the money. But you have a whole table full of people, of family members, and they're living all alone. And you're comparing yourself to them. Or some people are
Some people are book smart and get to that. Some people have to work hard. You may have to work hard. That's okay. You can get to where God has for you to do. Don't compare yourself to anybody that's running next to you. Run your own race. Stay in your own lane. If, like they say, like they do with the horse race, they have the blinders on the side so they can't see what the next horse is doing. Put your spiritual blinders on and don't focus on what's to your left or to your right, but look ahead. Look towards that prize that God has called into you to. He prepared. Look for the way, because if you look into the left and to your right, you're going to trip over the way that God's made for you. You're not going to see what God's telling you to turn. You're not going to see the hurdle, but God's telling you to jump over the hurdle. Run your own race. Stay in your own lane. Don't compare what that person has to what you have or may not have. Enemy number one, comparison. Enemy number two is confusion. The devil likes to come and confound your mind and get you so confused that you don't do anything. In school, I would get an assignment. And I was good with math and different and numbers and things like that because I had an answer. 1 + 1 = 2. But I was not that great with abstract thoughts in English class and literature and things like that. What did this person mean when they said this? I don't know. Because I want to get the right answer. But it's not, you're not getting to the right answer. So I'm like, it's just a thought. It's just a concept. And those things confuse me. Anyone likes to confuse you so much that you don't do what you've been called to do. You don't fulfill your assignment. And I would fail assignments or get C's or not get the great grades because I was confused to what the assignment was. A lot of us are not fulfilling our assignments because the enemy has gotten us confused. But you do realize that you have a counselor, that you have a teacher, that you have an advocate that you can go to. He says, attention, Jesus, God, I need you to show me what this means. I need you to show me what I need to do. I need you to help me. I need help. He never left you alone. He never leaves you comfortless. He never leaves you by yourself. He never leaves you to fail. He doesn't want you to fail. He wants you to succeed and fulfill the assignment that you've been tasked. So when the enemy comes to put confusion and to doubt into your mind, go to God. He can fulfill you. He can answer those questions and those things and desires that you might have. And like, wow. But a lot of times when we go to God and ask him for things or pray to God about things, he doesn't send us the answer, but he sends us the source to get to the answer. God, I need help. I need, my patience is low. So I need patience, Lord. Don't pray that prayer because what God's going to do, he's going to make you wait. God, I need to learn how to love like you love. I want to love like you love, God. Pray that prayer. He's going to send you people that you can't love and have you love them anyway and pray for them anyway. But what it is, that's just a test. That's just to make you stronger. That's just to make your love for him stronger. And it makes you understand and realize what he's done for you. So that when you come across those people, you can love them. When you come across those tests and those trials, and you can tell them what God has done for you. And your testimony, if you tell your story, you're reaching a one that's far from Christ. And you're making a difference. That's our plan. That's our goal. So you got the enemy of comparison. You got the enemy of confusion. And you got that little the counterfeit enemy. It's like, well, you don't need God. You could just do whatever you want and whatever happens. There's no such thing as God. There's no such thing as sin. We're all sinners, so just do what you want. Or a fake God or a fake promise or a fake answer. It's like all, it kind of looks the part, it kind of looks good, but there's no substance behind it. It's not fulfilling. It's just there. It's just something quick and it
quick, like fast in a hurry. There's a difference between a microwave meal and a, what do you call it? Crock pot meal. My wife and I were talking about this today. The microwave meal, make it fast, 3-4 minutes, it's done. But it's not good as or as fulfilling as a meal that you put in a crock pot. Let that thing simmer and stir and stew and steep for hours and hours. You come home, your house is smelling it, and you eat off that meal for days. God wants us to fulfill us in such a way that we live off of the blessing, that we live off of the blessing for years to come, and not just have to be an instantaneous, quick, fast blessing that doesn't fulfill us. That's not good for us. That's detrimental to our bodies. Even detrimental to our souls. So he doesn't want those counterfeit blessings. He doesn't want you to fulfill those counterfeit things and traits and things like that. Don't be conformed or don't be copy the behavior and the customs of the things of this world. We are not meant to follow the customs and the things of this world because Satan is over this world. We don't want to follow anything that he does because he's a counterfeit. So don't counterfeit the counterfeit. Or don't try to do what he's trying to do because everything he does is a lie. You don't want to live a life of a lie. Amen? All right. So you're made with purpose. Everybody here has a purpose. And you know there's an enemy of the purpose. The devil is the enemy of our purpose. And he sends different traps and snares to try to bring us down. But how does God reveal our purpose? How do you know that I'm made with a purpose? And how does God never said to me, Keith, here's your purpose, do this. Or God never said to me, Jane or Joseph or Joe or Jose or whatever, here's your purpose. Listen to God. If we look at Prophet Jeremiah, he was called at birth. And Jeremiah, the first chapter, 4th through 8th verses says, the Lord gave me this message. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. O sovereign Lord, I said, I can't speak for you. I'm too young. The Lord replied, don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. Don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and I will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. So, sometimes God speaks to us at a young age, and don't deny when he does. Just because he's young doesn't mean you're not called. Just because you're young does not mean you're not called. Just because you're young does not mean you're not called. He can use you at a young age. And don't be shocked. Don't be shy. But don't be arrogant. Take that time to be seasoned. Take that time to learn more about God and to develop those gifts and those talents that he's given you. And don't deny those gifts and say, well, I need to live my life. But God wants you to not just live your life. He wants you to show your life and show you off and to use your talents and giftings and the calling that he has for you and to walk out the fulfilling of your calling. Because you don't want to mess up their calling. Because the enemy wants you to. The enemy wants you to deny it. The enemy wants you to deny your purpose and to do everything that he says. You know, God sometimes calls us at a young age. And when he does, don't deny your calling. Trust God and know that God will walk with you. And whatever you say, don't have to worry about them. Don't be afraid for the people. For God will be with you. And he's going to protect you. He's going to protect your calling. Because he's going to protect the investment that he put in. Side of you. He's going to protect his investment. He's invested in you. He has a vested interest in your future. Don't deny your calling. Sometimes God calls us a little bit at a time. He gives us dreams and gives us glimpses of different visions and different things. We don't have the full picture. And what happens is as time comes on, you get a growing awareness of the calling, of your purpose, and of your plan. Let's check out our boy Joseph. You know Joseph. Joseph was a boy, Jacob's son, the youngest son. or next to the youngest son. He was one of the 12. And he had dreams where his brothers were going to bow down to him. He had dreams where his mother and father was going to bow down to him. And he, you know, sometimes you get those dreams and you get those callings and you don't have the proper interpretation and you just tell the wrong people at the wrong time. And what happens is they get jealous of your calling. And they try to put you, you know, try to deny or to quench your calling or to quench the gift that God has given you or to quench the one that loved you. That when they try to, you know, to, say you were, you're dead and try to hurt your father with, with that story. So they put you into a pit. And sometimes you go through life and all things work together for the good to them to love the Lord and those who call according to his purpose. So even when you go through your pit, God is still, you're still called. And that's still part of your future. That's still part of your calling. And when you go from the pit, you go to Potiphar's house, and you go from there to the prison, and that's still part of your promise. That's still part of your, because you're still learning your lessons. Because all the time, Joseph, he either won or he learned. He never lost. From the pit to the Potiphar to the prison to the palace, and just takes you there from and it's this. Growing awareness of what his calling was. Sometimes God uses us that way. Sometimes fulfills us our calling and our purpose that way. Genesis 50 and 20, at the end of the whole story, he says, here's Joseph said, you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. With all throughout Joseph's life, he was just from different stages of his life, from ups and downs, from trials and triumphs, and from different stages. He went, well, all it was, preparing him to be in a proper position so that not only he can save himself, but save a nation. Sometimes God is calling you to save a nation. And he's using all of your steps, all of your mistakes, all of your trials, all of your triumphs. He's using all of those things because that's a part of the way that God has for us. It doesn't mean that your way is going to be easy. It doesn't mean you're going to have the yellow brick road or the ease on down the golden road, you know, the yellow brick or the golden road. It's going to be some, you're going to be steps and trials. You're going to be sticks and tumbleweeds. It's like, or be by yourself. But if know that God is with you every step of the way, and before you know it, you're going to save a nation. Amen? All right. Sometimes God just presents us with opportunities. Let's go to our sister Esther. She's walking through open doors. And in the book of Esther, the 4th chapter, 14th through 16th verse, it says, if you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place. But you and your relatives will die. But who knows? If perhaps you were made queen for just such a time as this. And then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go and gather together all the Jews of Susa and fast for me. Do not eat and drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will do the same. And then, though it is against the law, I will go in to see the king. And if I must die, I must die. Or if I perish, I perish. But I'm going through that open door. That what happened was Esther and her Mordecai, her uncle, were presented with a challenge where they were about to be killed. The king issued an edict that all of Jews will be killed. But God had presented Esther or brought Esther up along this time, along her path, to actually marry the king and be the queen. And put her in a proper position that she can go before the king and plead her case for her people, for her nation. And so what she did was she was in a proper position at the proper time to save the people that God has called his people. And so she said, well, I just have faith. And they fasted. And before you know, she went to the king. And the king, at the time, you can't just go before the king. You had to be summoned. You had to be called or else you'd be killed. But she had faith and they all fasted and they prayed. She went before the king and he accepted her and he heeded her call And he sees, and through her, the nation was saved. The people, the Jews were saved. So sometimes God gives us those opportunities. And when he does give us open doors, those open opportunities, sometimes we'll be afraid. But like I said, do it afraid. Just walk through those open doors. You might have the elevator pitch. You may not have the elevator pitch. But just do it afraid. And present your calling. Present the your promise. You'll be there. You are there for a reason. There's a reason why you are in that elevator with that CEO. There's a reason why you were in before introduced or in a car ride with that one person that can put you to the next level. Walk through those open doors and watch God open up those doors for you. Because the door was open for you for a reason. Walk through it with God's help. And sometimes we like to come across what I like to call a God encounter.
God comes down and says, Keith, listen to me.
Why? Because sometimes we're so hard-headed, so full of ourselves. We just know we know what's right. And we know we just know we're going in the right direction. We know what God's telling us to do. Nobody ain't tell me nothing. And we run into a wall, running into a brick wall. And God's like, stop. 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 You know. God sometimes comes down and gives us, sends us warning after warning, sends us a prophet after prophet. And we finally get the brick wall and we hit ourselves. Well, oh, that's what you meant, God. It's okay. It's happened before. Let's go to our brother Saul/Paul. You know him. He's the one that unknowingly caused the gospel to spread because he was sending out warnings and he was going to kill all of the people that were talking about that Jesus guy, the people in the way of the way. And so he heeded out warnings and threats, and he was going to go out and start killing all of the disciples that were talking about this Jesus that was resurrected. Because, Saul at the time, he was a learned part of the Sanhedrin council. He was a Pharisee. He knew the law backwards and forwards. He was so zealous in his love for God that he was actually going to kill the people, his representatives, the children of God, the church. So he's on a road to Damascus to going out after them. And Jesus comes down and knocks him silly, knocks him out, knocks him blind. Acts, the 9th chapter, starting with the first verse, says, meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest, requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation and the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus, On this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down on him, around him. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He says, who are you, Lord? Saul asked, and the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. And from that point on, he was changed. He understood, man, I had this all wrong. I thought it was about church. I thought it was about the law. Jesus is like, nah, son, it's about relationship. You got it wrong. It's not about customs. It's not about how you do this and when you do this and which way you look at, which way you, or how many times you pray. It's just that you pray and pray to me. It's about a heart condition. It's no longer time for performance. It's no longer trying to try to please or trying to appeal or please the laws and things like that. I didn't come to break the law, but I came to fulfill the law, Jesus says. You're missing the point. You're looking for a man, when you, or, you know, when you're looking, when you're looking for a man or a Messiah to be coming a certain way, looking for a king to come down a certain way, when you miss the whole point. You're looking for a leader to be like this and like that, but I came to be a servant leader. I didn't come to lead, I come to serve. I didn't come to abolish, but I came to love. My gospel, my love is for the world, not just for a people. My love for you looks past your faults, looks past your sins, looks past the threats you railed against me and my people. But I love you so much because I want to use you in spite of your past. Actually, because of your past, that's what I want to use. Because you're so zealous about the law and so zealous about, you know, pleasing God, I want to use that zealousness. I want to use that passion. I don't want you to lose your passion, but I want you to redirect the passion into the right direction. Because that passion fills your purpose. And because of that, you're powerful. You can be powerful if that passion filled with the purpose goes in the right direction. God wants to use you just the way you are. He wants to redirect those sinful ways, those ways that are going into the wrong direction and are redirected at the wrong things and redirect them towards him. He wants to change you from your inside out, from your mind to your heart. That's how God works. You can put a suit on, you can put a dress on, you just be a dressed up mess. You can put the tie on, shirt and tie. You can put, you know, the button down shirts and the skinny jeans or whatever. You just be a dressed up mess. Here's the thing. God wants you not for your outward expressions. He wants you for your inwardness. He wants what's in the heart because he wants to work with you heart to heart. He wants you for the inside. He wants you for who you are, not for what you can do. Not what the man sees. God looks in the inward. Looks on the inward parts. Because here's the thing. God, when he created you for a significance, not just for survival. He created you for significance, not just for survival. Why? Because he wants you to make an impact. When you're just for survival, you're just living for yourself. But we are not called to be here by ourselves. We are called to make an impact into the world. You, yes, you. Were called to make an impact. You were called to make a significance. For you may not even know it. You're impacting somebody's life because of what they see, of what you've, the difference that you made in their life, either good or bad. I've had people in my life that made an impact in my life, either good or bad, and they may not even realize it. And it's not just your parents. It's just some people that you see. You might have friends that made an impact on your life. You may have teachers that made an impact on your life. You have ministers or pastors that made an impact on your life. You were called to make an impact, to make an impression. And what that impression is, God put that impression inside of you, and he wants that impression just to resound and to come out and to make a way and make a passion, make an impact on this whole world. Life by life, hand to hand, person to person. Each one at a time. Because why? Because Jesus did the same thing for us. He wants us to make. He wants us to do. To make the impact that he laid on the side of us. Because when he came, he made an impact on us. God sent Jesus down to love us, to preach to us, to minister to us, to save us. Most of all, to be our Lord, our God, our Savior, our King. John 3:16-17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." And here's where the part I come to, my favorite part of the service, is the ABCs of salvation, to lead us to Christ, to know God as a part of our sins. A, we want to acknowledge or admit that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And you want to believe, believe that not only Jesus died for our sins, but that he rose from the grave. Romans 5:8 says, But God demonstrates for his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And C, confess. Confess your faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Romans 10, 9 through 10 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believed and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. ABCs of salvation. A, acknowledge or admit. B, believe. C, confess. Let's pray this prayer together. Bow your heads. Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray. Amen. Listen, I love you. Most importantly, God loves you. He wants to use you. I want to get in contact with you. I want to come together as a family so we can grow together. I need you to text the word all in, ALLIN, to 609-831-3377. Again, text the word all in, ALLIN, to 609-831-3377. Thank you so much for joining with us. I love you. You could have been anywhere else, but I thank you for joining with us. God bless you. Have a great day.